It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. Certainly thank you for coming out this morning. I know everybody's already started thinking about lunch since James was up here talking about squirrel dumplings and squirrel stew. And so I know everybody's taste buds are watering. But before we can get to lunch, we'll get to the message here this morning. The title of the message is Don't Miss the Baby. You'll be turning with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 2. Luke in chapter number 2. We all know about the wise men and the shepherds that came to see Jesus. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about four people, or four groups of people, that missed the baby Jesus. All right, if you have your places there in Luke chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start reading there in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for everyone that's come out this morning, Lord, to hear your word. May we take the message and apply it to our lives, Lord. May we receive a blessing for being here, Lord. Lord, just take our message, Lord. May it be received as your message and not mine, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we see here in Luke chapter 2, the familiar passage of the birth of Jesus, something most of us have heard many, many times over. If you're like me, when we think about it, we always tend to think about the people, the wise men, the shepherds, those that came to see Jesus, the gifts that they brought, the timeline and the story that happened. This morning, I'll talk a little bit about four groups of people that missed the baby. They missed the birth of Jesus. If we talk about these four groups of people, I want you to think about and see if any of these groups of people still exist today, and hopefully you're not one of them. The first one we see that missed the baby was the innkeeper. As we heard in the message last week, the roomkeeper did have a room. He had his room, but he chose not to give it to Jesus. He gave his leftovers. He gave them a spot in the stable. The innkeeper was apparently too busy running his business, too busy making a living. Undoubtedly, there were others that had already knocked on the door during this time. And he'd already turned them away, said, "No, I'm full, don't have any room." He just got to the point that he was just turning people away. He wasn't trying to help them, wasn't trying to do anything. Kind of reminds me today of people who just simply don't care. Yeah, they're around, they know about the message of Christ, but they're just flat out too busy just to care. And then we see the townsfolk. After all, everybody went back to their hometown. They were in Bethlehem. It was basically a big family reunion, right? Everybody, all the relatives from far off had come back. They got to see everybody that they grew up with, everybody they went to school with. So it was a big reunion. But yet the townsfolk missed Jesus. Why? They also were busy. They were busy with meals. They were busy with spending time with family. They were too busy getting cleaning their houses, doing whatever they needed to do to have the relatives that came in. Like people today, they were just preoccupied to find Jesus. He was there. They were there. But they weren't focused on him. They had other things on their mind and didn't pay him no attention. He was just another person, just another baby, just another family that was there in Bethlehem that day. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter number 2. We will see here the story of King Herod. Starting there in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may also come and worship him.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So we see here in Matthew's Gospel the story of King Herod. After all, King Herod kind of like a lot of us today. He had everything that he needed, right? He had power. He had prestige. If he had it, if he needed it, he had it. Whatever the physical need was, he was the king. He could make it happen. But he was also jealous. He didn't want competition from another king. He was too insecure and full of pride. Now you might say, "That's not me today. I'm not a king, I have no power, I have no prestige." But yet, there's a lot of people who fit into the King Herod category today because they won't see Jesus because they have to give up their worldly pleasures. They have to give up something to get Jesus because they know to follow Jesus means they're going to have to stop doing what they're doing. They don't want competition to what they're already doing. They like their worldly pleasures. They like their life they're given. They don't want to submit and follow Jesus. And yet here in the same scripture of Matthew, we also see the religious leaders. Those that were well educated. Those that knew the Bible. They knew all the scriptures in the Old Testament. They went to school. They were trained. They had all the facts. They thought they were good enough, and that made them just too indifferent to care. They, like King Herod, didn't want any competition of anybody to tell them that their version wasn't right. And yet there's a lot of religious people we have with us today. They may not be scribes and priests, but there's a lot of religious people that know the Bible, they've read the Bible, they've heard the stories, they've heard the messages, but yet they have no relationship with Jesus. They're busy of religious acts. They come to church, they go to the Christmas play. They're always busy, ready to help to do something, but yet in their heart, there's no relationship with Jesus. Their head is filled full of religious facts, but there's nothing in their heart. There's no connection. There's no relationship. They've never invited him into their heart. And these four groups of people that are in the Bible, we have those same four groups here today. They're too busy, too distracted by what all the world has to offer. They're too busy, they're too caught up. They have the blinders on to find out what the baby did for them, what they mean, what he means to them, what he can do for them. Or maybe they're just too scared to let him take control of their lives. Or maybe they're just plain out ignorant of their need for a Savior. If you fit into one of those four categories today, I'm here to tell you, take time, stop, see Jesus. Let him take control of your lives. Invite him into your heart. Let him live inside of you. Don't miss the baby. Don't go through another Christmas. Don't get caught up in all the wrapping, the presents, the decorations, all the parties, all the hubbub of the season, that we miss the true gift that Christ gave to us. After all, we were all born the same way. We all come into this world with nothing. But some of us will leave different than others. Some of us will be on our way to heaven to live an everlasting life up there with Jesus. And yet others of us will be condemned to hell with the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have a choice between the two, I don't want to burn in hell. I'd rather be up there with Jesus. Amen. And I hope and pray that most of y'all in this room are that way, that you've all accepted Jesus and that you're living a life for him. But yet there's a lot that's around us that have missed the baby year after year and will do so this year. But it's up to us, those that do know Jesus and know what he's done for us and know what he can do for everybody else, it's up to us to spread the gospel. It's up to us to invite them into church, to invite them to the Christmas play, to invite them to be, you know, just open our arms and say, hey, come on in here. We love you. We want you to hear the gospel. Come. That's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to make sure that we don't backslide into one of those four groups, that we get too distracted, too caught up in the hubbub, or that we get to the point that maybe we've just offered so many times that we just give up, that we just quit caring. We need to go out and invite the lost. Tell them what Jesus has done for us. Share our testimonies. Invite them in. We need to introduce them to the baby Jesus and what he did for each and every one of us. I know we've probably all heard the story out of Matthew and Luke preached a million times. We've probably all read it and probably read it many Christmases. But stop, take time, let it sink in. Remember what he did for us. Don't be like the townsfolk that's just too busy, too caught up in all the family and all the events and all the parties that we just get too occupied, that we forget to find Jesus. Remember, this is a birthday we're celebrating. It's Jesus' birthday that we're here to celebrate. Let's remember whose birthday it is we're celebrating and what he's done for us. After all, if it's your birthday, you expect to get the presents, not everybody else, right? You know, the biggest birthday gift we could give Jesus is to bring somebody into knowledge of him. Doesn't cost us any money. All it costs us is a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. And the Holy Spirit's there to guide us every step of the way. All we have to do is to do our part. I'll ask if everybody will stand, if our musicians will come. Every head bowed this morning, no one looking around. I ask you the question, have you missed the baby? If you don't know Jesus this morning, let me introduce him to you. What he has done for us, he will do for you. Don't go another day without him. The altar is open. Come on down to the front, we'll speak with you. We won't embarrass you. We'll give you the opportunity to know Jesus in your heart, to have that one-on-one relationship with him, that you won't be distracted. First time he came, only a few people saw him. The next time he comes, every eye will be upon him. Everyone will see him. All right, everyone, if you will, look this way. Thank you for coming out this morning. Come back this evening tonight at 6. You've got no excuse not to be back here tonight because I'm letting you out early today. So that means you can go home, eat your lunch, get your nap in, and be ready to be back here at 6, right?
Amen.
All right, I'll ask Brother Richard Smith if he'd close us out in a word of prayer.